chapter 1. A wee break from Revelation for the next couple of Sundays. It's not that I'm scared after doing the Four Horsemen last week or anything like that. Just good to think on some verses to encourage us all and to encourage Cody in particular. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is God's word this morning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Amen. This is God's word. Let's bow and let's just pray together for a moment. Lord God, our prayer is very simple this morning. May your will be done. Nothing more, nothing less, and certainly nothing else. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's gratitude that prompted an old man to visit a broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly, slightly stooped, with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this man, to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, October 1942, to be a bit more precise, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed the rafts. The largest raft they had made for themselves was 9 by 5, the biggest shark 10 foot long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out and the rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. And a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that's the B-17 pilot, Cherry, Captain William Cherry. Cherry read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat, with my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare. I dozed off. And this is still Captain Eddie speaking. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew. I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word. But peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at the gull. That seagull meant food. If I could catch it. And the rest, they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used as bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offering itself as a sacrifice. And you know that Captain Eddie made it. And you also know that he never forgot. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy, eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls, to remember that one which in a day long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. Captain Eddie never forgot. And he always remembered. And today, I want to say to Cody, to all of us, but to Cody in particular, as she prepares to leave on a BMS action team to go to serve God in Delhi, we not only want to say farewell to you, but we want to encourage you not to forget some things as you go. Don't forget. It won't be long until you're back with us. 6 months actually isn't that long a time. It seems like an awful long time to your mum just now, probably. But it's actually not that long a time in the grand scheme of things. But we will be like Paul in this passage before us today, who said that he longed to see his young apprentice, Timothy. Verse 4, he said, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." We will long to see you again. And not only do I want to remind you not to forget some things today, there's a challenge for all of us to not forget the very same things in our lives, and also for us never to forget you despite the distance that's between us. There will be times in the weeks and months that lie in front that you will come under all kinds of pressure. You will feel the distance to loved ones. The food might become just a little bit repetitive. The deli belly might even kick in at some point in time. The language barrier might frustrate you, and that's just with the English members of your team. The work will be tough. Seeing poverty will upset you, and a whole host of other things besides will be there. It's important in those times when trouble comes never to forget some very basic things, to never forget, for instance, that God loves you and you are his precious child, to remember that there are always going to be people here praying for you and thinking on you, to never forget that it's God who has called you to this and that our God always equips his saints for the tasks they undertake. So as you go, don't forget. Paul was writing to Timothy from his prison cell. He was getting on in years, and I suspect he knew what now lay in front of him in prison. He had given his life after that Damascus Road experience when he met Jesus in that blinding light. He had given his life then to proclaiming the gospel and to drawing others into ever closer relationships with Jesus. His heart's cry in many of his letters was that the people would grow to know Jesus even better day by day. And oh, how that is my cry today, not just for Cody, but for each one of us, that we would grow to know God more. But as Paul sat in prison, he wanted to encourage Timothy in his ministry. Timothy was still a young man, just like you are, still a young woman. As Paul was preparing to go, to depart this world, he wanted to remind Timothy of a number of things that he should not forget. And these things, I think, are such that we should not forget and always remember as well. The first thing to say from this passage today is remember your upbringing. Remember your upbringing. As Paul begins in his letter, he reminisces of his time spent with Timothy. In verse 3, he says, I thank God as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Verse 5, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. He calls to mind Timothy's upbringing and that great encouragement and support that his grandmother and his mother had been to him. Paul recalls the great and sincere faith of both Lois and Eunice. He praises God for the godly examples they both were to Timothy. You've been brought up well, Cody. You have a family that love and care for you, a family that have taught you right from wrong, a family that encouraged you to think for yourself and to explore life, to explore faith, a family that encouraged you through all of our clubs. Who doesn't remember Cody and the girls' club and the kids' club? Those tormenting Friday nights in Youth Cafe, by the way. You know the influence your family have been. For Timothy, his parents and his grandparents, the female side anyway, were strong Christians and encouraged Timothy. You have heard me speak of my grandparents and the tremendous encouragements they were to me from a young age, encouraging my mom to get me to Sunday school every week and encouraging me right through my Christian life. Remember that support and encouragement that come from your family. Maybe it wasn't your family, not just your family though. Maybe there were friends who have been a great help to you in your faith. For Timothy, he not only had his mother and his grandmother, but he had this dear friend, Paul. Paul refers to Timothy in verse 2 with great endearment. He says to Timothy, my dear son. Paul had a great fondness for Timothy. He had previously encouraged him in the faith, and now in prison, Paul is still encouraging and helping him. So remember the people. Remember the people who have made a difference in your life. Remember what it is about them that inspired you. If they're still alive, remember and keep in touch with them and listen to their encouragement, their support, and their advice. There is nothing better than having good friends who you can trust, who you can turn to when things are bad. When you're struggling, when tough things are happening all around you, when you're tired and you're drained and you need a pick-up, remember your family, your friends. Call to mind their encouraging words in the past. And if need be, listen, it's a modern day. Pick up that phone, get on that Skype, send an email or a Snapchat or a whatever it is you happen to do these days. Get in touch. Share what's happening. Listen to their support and their advice and their encouragement. Remember your upbringing, but also remember your faith. Paul tells Timothy not only that he remembers Timothy's family support, but he also recalls Timothy's faith. Verse 5 again, he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Isn't that incredible? Your sincere faith isn't just a little faith, a fledgling faith, a starting off faith. He says, this is a sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. He encourages Timothy to remember that faith, for there will be times when life is tough and we face uphill battles and we'll feel like giving up. It's at those times that we need to remember our faith and our hope is in Jesus. Why is it in Jesus? Because he's the one that Paul reminds Timothy in verse 9 has saved us. Look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel. The gospel, the good news. We are sinners. sinners. From the very time we entered the world, we've chosen to do our own thing in life. Many times have rejected God and His teaching. And the sin that we've committed has separated us from God forever. And we were doomed to a life separated from Him. But because of His great love for us, God the Father sent His only Son, Jesus, down to this earth. Jesus died on the cross in our place. He took the punishment for our sin on His back, and we are saved through Him. And so when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, asking for His forgiveness for all of that sin in our lives, we then receive that forgiveness by faith. Our faith is in Jesus, who died to save us. And not only did Jesus die to save us, but He rose triumphant from the grave and ascended into heaven in order that one day we too may live there forever and forever. Remember your faith. Remember how you questioned the existence of God, how you argued with so many of us on a Friday evening. Then remember how your eyes were opened and you saw the truth. And you put your trust and your faith in Jesus and all that He has done for you on the cross. Remember your Savior in all the days that lie ahead, both the good ones and the bad ones. He is always with us. And He will never leave us, He said. Remember your faith. As well as that, Paul says to Timothy, remember your gifts. He goes on in verse 6 to remind Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We've all been given a gift or gifts by God. He's given them to us for a purpose. And He wants us to use them to help others and to lead others to Jesus Christ. Timothy had gifts which Paul was encouraging him to use. He was to testify about the Lord, verse 8. He was to teach, he was to suffer for the gospel, verse 8. If you jump to chapter 4, you discover that he was to preach the word. He was to teach others. He was also to discharge all the duties of the ministry to which he was called, chapter 4, verse 5. These were the areas of ministry Timothy was gifted for. He was to preach and teach and testify of Jesus. But we're all gifted for different areas of ministry. My responsibility is to shepherd this flock which God has placed under my care, to preach the word, to teach that word. You all have many different gifts and many different areas. What's your gift? What's God calling you to do? Cody, your role is pretty well defined for you for these next 6 months. You're to go and to serve those children, to go and help those women in Delhi. God has given you some amazing gifts. We've already seen some of that on a Wednesday evening at Kids Club as you've got involved in help and support. You've used your gifts to encourage and to bless and to build others up, to make a few folks smile and laugh in a team down south. Don't forget the gifts God has given you. When times are tough and days are dark, remember the gifts that God has given you and remember that He has given them to you for a reason and for a purpose. And friends, we all ought to remember that we have been gifted by God as well. Not all are called to be teachers, to be pastors, to be evangelists, to be leaders. Not all are called to go to Delhi or to somewhere else. Some of us are called to work with the children. Some of us are called to pray. Some of us are called to be those Barnabases, to be those encouragers of others. Some of us have great musical talent. Some of us know how to make a proper cup of coffee. And by the way, that's actually quite hard to do, a proper cup of coffee. We all have gifts. Let's remember the gifts God has given us and let's use them. Not only is that request to remember your gifts, but it's also to remember your calling. Timothy was reminded to fan into flame that gift which was given to him so that he might use it to serve God. God had called him into his service. He wanted Timothy to be a minister of the gospel. Timothy was called to tell others of Jesus, of his amazing love for each of us, as shown on the cross of Calvary. Not only had God saved Timothy in verse 9, but he had also called him to a holy life, to a life of service for him. Cody, not only has God gifted you, but he's called you. Over the last couple of years, he's called you to himself. You've come to saving faith in Jesus. You've begun to grow in your faith, to grow to know God more, to love God more, to walk more in his ways. You sat outside this room in the atrium one Thursday evening last year, and you read a BMS magazine about action teams, and you asked me, do you think I could go and do that? You prayed and you listened to God. You explored the possibility, and now you've been called to go and to serve and a team in Delhi. Your calling is a special calling from God. And he's placed and he places a tremendous responsibility on you. But with responsibility comes blessing. God equips his workers. He blesses them. You serve faithfully in our kids' club, helping tell the local children about Jesus. Keep being faithful and telling children in the other half of the world about Jesus. Teach the woman how to use those computers well, how to empower them to live and to work and to contribute. And remember, in the difficult and the trying times, your calling. Friends, we're called to serve God in one way or another as well. How has he called you to serve? There's a question for you to go away with today. How has he called you to serve? And then the other side of that, what are you doing with that? Because actually, the first bit's relatively easy. I said relatively easy. All of us are reasonably good at saying, well, actually, I'm quite good at this. God's given me this skill or this gift. The hard bit's actually the next bit. Are you using it? Are you putting it into practice in your life? Are you serving others? Don't forget. Don't lose sight of that call. When things get tough, when the going gets hard, remember your calling and stick faithfully with it. That was Paul's cry to Timothy. And not only to remember your call, but here's a very important one. Remember who does the calling. Remember who called you. It's none other than Almighty God. The creator and the sustainer of this universe calls us to do his work on earth, and that has to be one of the most humbling and amazing things. That statement just blows me away time after time after time. He wants to use me. How incredible is that? A skinny wee boy from Creef who wasn't all that bright. A middle-aged man who's put on a bit of weight and gone bald. Who struggles sometimes to get the right words out at the right time. He calls me. He's called Cody. Who would have believed that 3 years ago as she sat and argued black is white with us here in Youth Cafe? And actually, as I look around this morning, isn't it amazing that God is the one who has called each one of you? I don't mean that in a derogatory way, by the way. It just stuns me sometimes. It amazes me. That's what God does. And Paul reminds Timothy that not only has he a gift within him which comes from God, but that God is with him and did not give him, verse 7, Duncan prayed this over Cody earlier, didn't he? A spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And there's a whole other message for another day. And yet as Paul says these words to Timothy and reminds him of his suffering for the gospel, he goes on to say in verse 12 that he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Who remembers that old hymn with those choruses in it? Eh? Remarkable. I know who I have believed in. I know who has called me. I know who has saved me. I know who loves me. I know who walks with me day by day by day. He has believed in God. God has called him and equipped him, and he longs. Paul longs that Timothy not forget that, to forget that. And I want to say to all of us today, but especially to Cody, that we need to remember who has called us to the tasks we are now doing. It is God. He has called us and he has gifted us and he wants to use us in his service. Too often we say no when we put the shutters up when life gets hard, but he persists with us nonetheless. He longs for us to be his disciples, to simply be his hands and his feet and his eyes on earth. You are doing a great job for Jesus. Keep going. And remember the one who has called you. And in all of that reminding, Paul does to Timothy in this passage, he does so in the context of the fact that he is remembering him fondly and upholding him in prayer. So remember, we are praying for you. You're not on your own. Near the start of our text this morning, Paul says in verse 3, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Timothy's never far away from Paul's thoughts. He remembers him before God often as he prays. And what an encouragement for a young man like Timothy. Here's a young man serving God where he is, having good times and having bad times. And he's reminded that his friend and his teacher, his mentor, the Apostle Paul, is praying for him. And the prayers are falling on the ears of the ruler of all, of Almighty God. Now, friends, we are called often to remember one another and to pray for one another. We have our church prayer list that we go through so that we remember each other day by day. We have some pertinent points for prayer in our notice sheet. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget that others are praying for you. Cody, don't forget that we're praying for you. Each and every day you are away, you will never be far from our thoughts. We will regularly pray for you in the work that you are doing. Be assured that the saints, this motley bunch of saints in this place, will continue to do that for these next 6 months in particular, but actually for a whole lot of time beyond. All of this was said to encourage Timothy and his walk with the Lord and with his service for God. Difficult times often beset us in life, and it's easy to become disheartened and depressed. Don't be. The encouragement this morning is don't forget. In the good times and in the bad times, remember your upbringing. Remember your family and your friends, those who brought you to the Lord and those who encourage you in your walk and your witness. Remember your faith, and don't forget the one you have believed in and the one who is able to guard you and to keep you and to use you. Don't forget your gifts and your calling, and keep on going in the hard times. Remember the one who called you, and remember his faithfulness. And never forget that people here are praying for you and upholding you before the very throne of grace. Remember, importantly also, to take time out to spend with the Lord and to reflect on his love for you. Remember his care for you. Remember that he will not let you go or leave you on your own. As you go, as Cody goes, as we go into our weeks in front, as you go, don't forget. Let's pray together. Loving God, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the incredible encouragement it is. We want to thank you for the challenge it is. We want to thank you for the reminder that's always there. And that reminder of who you are, of how you've called us, saved us, of how you equip us and lead us forward. And Lord, we want to pray this morning that for each one of us, we would hold on to that word of yours. We pray that that word would not leave us this morning, Father God, that the devil wouldn't steal it away as we go from this place. But we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would allow us to think and to ponder, to apply this to our lives this week. We pray for Cody in particular, just once more again this morning, Father God, that as she goes, she wouldn't forget. She wouldn't forget her upbringing. She wouldn't forget her faith. She wouldn't forget the gifts that's been given to her, that she wouldn't forget her calling and the one who called her. Lord, as she is so far away, we pray that she wouldn't forget that her friends here are praying for her and standing with her. Father God, would you strengthen Cody and encourage Cody? Would you go with Cody in these days? Would you give her traveling a good time this week with her family? Would you give her traveling mercies on Friday to Oxford and Saturday over to Delhi? We pray that it wouldn't take her long to acclimatize to the heat and to settle into the work. And Lord, we pray that you who have called her would continue to equip her for service. Would you guard her and keep her, Lord, we pray. Father God, thank you for these moments together this morning. Bless this word to us and allow us to take it to heart and to live it out. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish our service this morning by standing and singing a wonderful hymn that says, God.